Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Listen to this wonderful song. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Reading from Revelation chapter 3, the letter of the Lord Jesus to the angel of the church at Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for this, and let's beg that each one of us will have an ear to hear what the Spirit has given to this church and to us today. That perfect word from the Lord Jesus. For them, it was the perfect timing. It is also the timing for us. When we read by the pen of the psalmist, and Paul repeats the words, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's pray not only for ears to hear, but a heart to receive. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for a perfect word. And though it was particularly right for that church there at Sardis, we know it can be equally true of us today. And we fear, Father, that it is true. We know that many churches still carry the name of their fathers, calling by the same denominations and names. But, Father, we fear they no longer have life from Christ. They are dead, dead in sin. And we know, Father, that each generation is born dead in sin, that we cannot inherit it through the ways of the flesh, but must by thy Spirit be born again, by thy Spirit given the teaching from thy word, and have thee, Lord Jesus, do with us as with the apostles, open their understanding, they might understand the Scriptures, they hearing the gospel from thy lips, how thou wast to suffer and die, be buried and rise again. And yet they heard it not and knew it not. We think of the women also have heard that. But the angel saying, remember how thou, Lord Jesus, did speak to them in the way, and then they remembered. Father, we pray that we might remember what we considered from this last week, thy word to this church. Remember therefore how thou hast received. We give thanks when we have received. And we pray for those who may not yet have received thy word, the many throughout the world that have never heard it, the many children in the homes of the heathen homes and other religions, Father, that will not acknowledge thee as the only true God, and especially without the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, whom thou hast sent into the world, and of whom thou hast spoken, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And then we think of Peter's words that we have a more sure word of prophecy. For unto do we do well to give heed till the day star arise in our hearts. We pray that there might be reviving of that in the church, a preparing of it, for when thou dost come again, Lord Jesus, on the clouds of glory. And we pray that many might come. We think of the words written of George Whitefield, how he struggled, and then the day star arose in his heart, that he came to know thee, Lord Jesus. And as Paul could say, thou didst reveal thy Son in him. And we pray that that might take place today with many, that there might be a reviving of that knowledge, there might be a remembering, there might be a repenting, there might be, as the Corinthians, a godly sorrow. And we pray, Father, that we may have that the church again will be a salt and a light in this nation and in every nation throughout the world, that we might be as Daniel was in his time and others. We pray, Father, for thy calling many laborers also to go into all the fields which are white under the harvest and where the laborers are few. We beg of thee that it may come in such a way that it will heal our homes and revive our churches and change our nations, Jew and Gentile. We give thanks also, Father, for the blessings in nature, especially that we have had far more than many others that are in suffering. We think of the blessings that we have had, the sunshine and the rain. We think also the peace and the freedom that we have and others do not have. We pray for them in suffering, starvation, homeless, the persecuted. We pray also for the aged. We pray for the sick and the injured. We pray, Father, for those in sorrow. We ask all these things and give thanks for what we have and beg for that which is needed through Christ. Amen. As we look at this letter once again, last week and somewhat the week before, we consider those words in this third chapter of Revelation, the third verse. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. It was to this church at Sardis, particularly the angel of the church. We could say, if we want to apply it today, we could think of it as the United States of America. We ought to remember what our forefathers heard. And if we were true to history, we would know what they believed. We would know what those said, even when they came from persecution in England, came from Europe, and came in the Mayflower, made the Mayflower compact, and had the fear of God in their hearts, the beginning of wisdom. And though they suffered terrible, they were tried, but God blessed them in the end and gave them a place. And as one visited them later, observed and said, this truly was a godly settlement. We can know that. We can go back. We can learn how they had that first Thanksgiving Day and how they gave thanks to God when He did give them blessing in crops. They had almost starved, and some of them did die in sickness, but all of that is there. And sadly, many in our country want to change that history. They want to take it out of our textbooks. They want to insert other things, and sadly, lies. And especially when we think of how those children at that time learned. We can have their books. We can have their readers. How they learned the alphabet. In Adam we all sinned. Hey, that's the beginning. And on and on. They'd have a scripture text for B and for C and for D and for E. All of that from the scripture. That was their textbook. And we have that same book. Sadly, I'm afraid there are probably millions of them on the shelves. They're not being used. My prayer often to God is that He will make people take this book and remember the faith of our fathers, our pilgrim forefathers especially. Remember also, as we have it in history, and it's been in almost by far the most of our American literature books, a sermon of Jonathan Edwards entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Part of that sermon is there as a noteworthy part of American literature, mainly because it was used so mightily by God. People were fearsome. They feared that they were actually, as Jonathan Edwards preached, a sinner in the hands of an angry God. I believe we're there today as a nation, killing our babies by the thousands every day. We can talk when a few are killed, and we should, and it's terrible, but we don't talk when many are killed. Killed. I could use other words far more vivid the way this is done. Terrible. And people vote for those who want to murder, who want to do wrong, who want the woman, the mothers, to have a right to do wrong with a child in her womb. Yes, a child. She's a mother. It's a child. Living. Many times. Ready for birth. And still killed. Killed the most innocent. I know I've mentioned it many times, but it goes on. Today, by the law of averages, 3,000. Yesterday, 3,000. Tomorrow, there will be another 3,000 unless God intervenes. 1 million a year. All of that. Will we remember our sin? Will we remember the commandments of God? Last week, I mentioned the one that has in it the word remember. remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's also remember the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Really, a better word would be, thou shalt not murder. There is a place for killing. Those who kill or murder, God says, by man shall their blood be shed. Government has the right. Romans 13 speaks of the sword. All of that is to be learned and remembered. A law that is God's holy law for us, and a law that is especially, as Paul wrote, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. Yes, that which is intended for righteousness, we throw away. And then God has to use it to make us learn our sin. Learn that we have stepped over the words that said, no trespassing here, no trespassing there, thou shalt not. And we did it. So then we have to learn we're guilty by that law and go back, be forgiven. And then we can have the law written on our hearts by Christ, as we'll hope to see further, especially by that fifth verse, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There are many ways spoken of in Scripture of overcoming. Time permitting, we'll see some of them today, or otherwise another time. But one of the ways of overcoming is just to do as Christ said, strive to enter in. For many shall not be able. Not because it's an impossible way, but because it's for today. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And the warning that Christ gives when he says, many shall not be able, says, once the master has shut the door, that door will be shut either at your death or Christ's return. And many are pictured as when he returns, then they will want to come. Then they will know that they are in danger, terrible, terrible danger. Some even wanted the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Then they will remember. Then they will know. Then they will act. Then they can do. Now we're so lukewarm. Some actually in rebellion, especially those that persecute others. Remember how thou hast received and heard. What a blessing we've had in this nation. What a blessing the Jewish nation has had in being given all the Old Testament books and given the New Testament as well, if they would only receive it, but they won't. They have been given Moses through Malachi. All Jewish people, all prophets from that nation and given in that nation while it was a nation still blessed and there. And now God has brought them back to their land and given them a place. It's argued about. It's fought over. There's vast differences of opinion. But God has done things. He's promised things, and he's doing things today, and he will do things in the future. But that's another subject. But coming back to this, we talked on it a little bit on the fourth verse. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. As I said last week, I remembered an older man, very old. He had children in the church, grandchildren, and he said, the church is not right anymore, but he could not leave. His name was still one that had not defiled the garments. He thought rightly. I don't know how much he practiced, how much he warned his children, grandchildren. I know that some, even marrying into that family, were warned and were told, and they heard something different than they had heard in their own families. He had a witness. I think of another man, a man that I met one day in a bookstore. And I talked to him about the Lord. At first he was a little hesitant, and asking him about his salvation, he just said, I hope so. And asking him further, but don't you know? He said, yes, I do. And he remembered an old man. He remembered in his younger years when God had taught him, saved him. and we spoke together, had fellowship together, and either the same night or the following night, one of his sons called me and said, "Are you the one that talked with my dad?" And I said, "Yes." I met him in the bookstore, he took me home, showed me his books, we had fellowship, and he says he died tonight. Later, visiting the family, they said he had something you could tell different than the rest of the family. You could tell they knew, and yet they did not know. He had something. Something they knew was different. Evidently, one of the names that had not defiled their garments, had not gone along with the liberal thinking. And there has been much, sadly, in the church. In Israel, Jeremiah said, "Find the old paths." The people defiled their garments. They went new ways, wayward ways. All of that is in history of the church. It is the church that Christ is saying, "Thou hast a few names which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." In Israel, those kind were persecuted in the years before this. The Lord Jesus had to say, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers killed? They have stoned them which were sent unto them." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets. Those that would not be defiled with the rest. Those that would stand in the gap. Those that would speak the truth. Those that would call the rest of the nation to repentance and to obedience. They were refused. But they were the ones that did not defile their garments with the rest. Paul was certainly one of those. Stood, but knew also his need and knew what it took to overcome. The next verse says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." When we read this here from the Lord Jesus, "He that overcometh," we think, well, that's what we have to do, and it is. But the Lord Jesus himself has provided the way. He said to his apostles just before he died, record in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, the life." And Paul knew that. Paul, writing to the Philippians, could say, as recorded in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's all we need to overcome. I can do all things through Christ. He is able to stop a persecutor like Paul from persecuting, making him a preacher. But then in that life of Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And here's one of the things that needs to be done. "To him that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." It sounds very simple in the way that Paul is speaking of it there. It is not always that simple. Earlier, to this same church at Philippi, Paul had said, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Here in his sojourn, here in his apostleship, here near the end of his life, he is still saying, "that I may win Christ." He had Christ, but he also wanted to win Christ. Continuing, he said, "and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death." And then listen to this explanation of where he is. In verse 13 of this third chapter of Philippians, "I count not myself to have apprehended." He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but he's also saying, I haven't yet done all things. I count not myself to have apprehended, not taken hold of everything I need to do, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth toward those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In the 12th verse he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. There you really have the whole message. The life of faith, but where does it come from? The last part of that 12th verse, for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Paul is really saying, I have not yet attained. I haven't reached the top. It's what he is doing. But then at the same time, he shows what Christ is doing. He says, I haven't apprehended, but he says, I am apprehended of Christ, and he certainly was. The Lord Jesus said in his calling him, when he sent one to talk to him who was afraid, he said, don't be afraid. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name to the Gentiles and as well to Israel. Ananias was scared. He says, he's got permission to bind us, to take us to Jerusalem. For one thing, he said, behold, he prayeth. That's one thing that we can all do, pray. Not always rightly. But as I say to even older people, laying in their beds, helpless, cannot walk, you can pray for yourself. You can pray and praise God. You can pray for others. Pray for all of us. Pray for the church to be revived. That's part of apprehended, that blessing of prayer. That is part of he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. There's no better way to overcome than to start with prayer. And if we start with prayer, God will lead the rest of the way. He did with Paul. His prayer was, who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? In every step of the way, Christ led him. And that's why he could say, of whom I am apprehended. Christ reached down, took him, led him, blessed him, used him for his glory and for your and my good. If we hear his words, John's words, all as Christ gave them to them.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.